everyone. You're listening to Patio Talk Pod,
where we believe everyone has a story.
And we want to share it.
I'm David.
And I'm Cindy.
Welcome to the show. Hey, everybody. We took a small break. Well, maybe a larger break than we intended to.
Yeah, kind of life sped up after the holidays.
It did. But we want to give you guys an episode. We can't do a full episode right now. You may hear a little bit in my voice or in Cindy's voice.
Yes, we're both a little bit hoarse and struggling with speaking right now.
So we can't record an entire episode, but Cindy and I both have COVID.
Yes, we do. Day 8 for me and day 6 for you.
Yep, that's at the time of this recording. So
yes, not, true.
Maybe not when you're listening.
But yeah, so maybe when you're listening, we're free, bound, out of quarantine.
Yeah, and we're making through. And, yes. We lift up all the families who are hit by this.
It's so hard, mentally and physically. The mental part really, I think, caught me more by surprise, I guess, when I first was quarantined and thought I'd be on the island alone all week for 10 days.
Yeah, and then I get it.
And you left me so much, you joined me.
Yeah, right? I just joined you with it.
But thankfully, hopefully, even once this is published, our kids have maintained freedom from it.
Hopefully so. But we do lift up all the families that have been affected by this, especially those who have lost loved ones due to coronavirus.
Yes.
And for those of you who are going through it now as you're listening to this, we just pray that you get better soon. We wanted to drop an episode. We've been wanting to drop an episode, and we just haven't been able to. So I found an archived episode that we recorded back in October of 2019.
And we started January 2020, right?
We did.
Yeah.
So our podcast started January 2020. We recorded this episode October 2019 as part of a podcast that I run called the Lying Truth Podcast. We have since changed a little bit of direction on the Lying Truth, so this episode is no longer available. But it's I listened to it, and it's still applicable today. or is it applicable or applicable?
Maybe applicable today.
Applicable today. It can apply both ways. Anyway, we're going to talk about cancel culture.
Yes. Which, thinking back to that episode, I may have not had a great understanding of cancel culture at that point. But now, coming a year or so later, definitely have a much better understanding of it and the seriousness of it.
For sure, the seriousness of it. And even as we record this now, it's still going on. We talk about how people argue online. We talk about where people get their news and can you trust it. Those things are still going on today. And so we just wanted to drop the episode. We just want to let you know that we're still here. Do want to ask you to pray for us and pray for our kids not to get this.
Yes.
While we're dealing with it.
And if you listened to our last episode and you are doing the Focus and 50 with us, keep going. We've had to take a pause, obviously, and we look forward to getting started back with it. I myself got hit hard 2 weeks prior with back issues prior to the COVID, so it's been one fun 3 or 4 weeks for me, for sure. Insert lots of sarcasm.
Yeah.
But sometimes you just have to laugh to keep from crying, and we try to do a lot of that.
We do. One thing COVID has not stopped, or maybe even started for me, is I dance a lot.
I don't know if that's a good thing or not.
I don't either. I'm just kidding. It's a good thing this isn't a video.
It sends me into a good laugh, which sends me into a good asthma attack, almost.
A good cough. It does. It does. Good thing this isn't a video podcast.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. We want to give you guys something to listen to. And this is pre-COVID. And it's pre-election.
Yeah.
So a lot of things you hear in here, you don't think. Please keep in mind when it was recorded.
Yes, definitely. Who knew we'd go through so much after that podcast? Like how things would change.
Yeah. Anyway, without further ado, here is the original Patio Talk Pod. Say hello.
Hi, this is Cindy, David's lovely wife.
That is right. She is my lovely wife, and I'm glad that she was able to join me here in the studio tonight. We want to thank you guys for tuning in with us, and we're so happy that you're here. We're going to talk about, a few things, but a couple things that Cindy and I like to do. One thing that we do like to do is we like to have patio talk
which basically means when usually Friday evenings after work, we like to sit down on our back patio. Sometimes we'll have a fire and we'll just talk about the week. We'll talk about how things went for both of us throughout the week. And we will just talk about lots of things. Usually it's me bringing up something awkward and crazy, and Cindy's looking at me like, what kind of foolish things are you talking about? And then I wind up going into a 5-minute spiel about what it is. I think of myself, for those of you who are old enough to remember the show Cheers, I've been watching that a lot lately on Netflix. I think of myself sometimes as Cliff. Cliff had an answer for everything. And during patio talk, I've got an answer for everything. So I think of myself as Cliff. And sometimes Cindy has to be Carla. And those of you who are old enough will understand what I'm saying. For those of you who are not old enough, go to Netflix, check out Cheers. It is a very good show. Cindy and I are going to dive into this thing and see where it goes.
All right. Let's buckle up.
Well, we can't. We're sitting in chairs that don't have buckles.
So what are we talking about today, Dave?
You never call me Dave. Why did you call me Dave?
I don't know. It just seemed kind of appropriate for this situation.
Why?
I have no idea.
Yeah, seriously, you never call me Dave.
I don't, because that's your dad.
That is my dad. If you're listening, Pop, hey, Pop. Anyway, we're going to talk about, have you heard me say the word cancel culture?
I have.
What is cancel culture, Cindy?
Canceled culture, after discussing with you and learning what it is recently, because I had not heard of it until you brought it up, is someone's good today being canceled out because of something they did bad or inappropriate in their youth or younger years or past. Is that right?
That is kind of right. I mean, I guess it is right. It can be several things. I'm going to go to the almighty intranet, which we do know that is, you know, it's usually right on everything. But we're going to look up Urban Dictionary. We're going to go with Urban Dictionary today. Top definition on Urban Dictionary for the cancel culture: a modern internet phenomenon where a person is ejected from influence or fame by questionable actions. It is caused by a critical mass of people who are quick to judge and slow to question. It is commonly caused by an accusation, whether that accusation has merit or not. It is a direct result of the ignorance of people caused communication technologies outpacing the growth of available knowledge of a person. So this is what cancel culture definition, the top definition on Urban Dictionary is. And I'll read that last sentence. It is a direct result of the ignorance of people caused communication technologies outpacing the growth and available knowledge of a person. What do you think of that definition?
I like my definition better. More simple.
It was more simple, yes. But I do think they had a good definition there. I think it was something that was there. Here's another one. Here's the second most common definition. And the reason I'm using Urban Dictionary is because I think cancel culture has many different meanings. And I think it's a different meaning for a lot of people. So the second one is, cancel culture is when a large mob of people come together to relentlessly attack a certain person over an accusation of some kind, which later on is usually proven false.
There you go.
Generally, the accusation starts on Twitter, which every kind of argument. Twitter? I mean, seriously, I've posted this before. Open Twitter. 1, 2, 3. Throw the phone. Because people just get bent. Well, get mad.
I think Twitter's been around maybe the longest as a media outlet. I can remember when it first came out that it was used for a lot of times being able to throw out negative things about your experience at a hotel or somewhere like that. So
we could go back and look at the origins of Twitter and see how that happened. But the origin gets questioned, then deleted, but the mob has already started attacking, and the person who made the accusation can enjoy a boost in followers. I mean, there's several different ways, there are different ways people look at cancel culture. Again, I'm going to warn you, if you've never been on Urban Dictionary and you get on Urban Dictionary, don't be surprised at some of the language you see, because it is Urban Dictionary and you're going to see a lot of different things on there. I have saved you from some of the language is in some of these comments. Just looking at different posts and different things from different resources, the Washington Post had an article and it was a step-by-step guide on why people can't stop arguing about cancel culture. So this article even goes a little bit further and talks about how people argue about cancel culture. They're not even talking really about cancel culture. They're talking about people arguing about cancel culture.
It's about like having a meeting about the meeting.
Exactly. Yeah. We've got to have a meeting about the meeting that we're going to meet about.
Let's have an argument about the argument that...
Exactly. That's what that article basically was talking about. I had a lot of different people who came on there and had some things to say. Cindy, have you seen anyone who was, I'm going to use the term, victim of cancel culture?
Think about things.
When I say some names, they will probably come back to you.
Okay.
Okay.
Shoot them at me.
Kevin Hart.
Yes.
What happened to Kevin Hart?
I don't remember all the details, but I do remember that he was set to host one of the award shows, I believe. And due to something he put out on social media years prior, basically come back to haunt him that they...
Right. So Kevin Hart,
yeah.
He had dreamed about hosting the Oscars, and he had the opportunity to host the Oscars. Someone found some old homophobic tweets that he had tweeted. So again, back to freaking Twitter.
Language!
It knocked him out of... it knocked him out of being able to host the Oscar. Because first thing that happened when people found that, they posted it again, even though it was years earlier. And it was probably, he's a comedian, it was probably used in a comedic sense. It doesn't mean that it was right. It doesn't mean that what he said was right. I don't even know what he tweeted. I didn't jump into it. So I didn't even know what he tweeted, but it doesn't mean he was right. But he did not get to host the Oscars. He was an example of cancel culture. Who else?
I feel like this is a pop quiz that I am failing.
Roseanne Barr.
Oh, yeah.
How about Roseanne?
That makes the motions about old Roseanne. But yes, I remember she did tweet some racist things.
She did tweet some racist things. And she got kicked off her show. Her own show renamed after her.
Mm-hmm.
So they even changed the name.
I would have to say, though, hers was a more recent matchup. In other words, where Kevin's was years prior, maybe, you know, you'd like to believe that he's changed in his heart and his mindset on things, whatever it is he may have said. Hers was pretty, you know, matched up in recent times. And I don't remember exactly everything that was tweeted, but I do know that it was pretty harsh.
I'm not saying I agree or disagree with either one of these two cases. Right. These are just examples of cancel culture. Another one, this one's pretty popular with the younger folks, so probably know who this guy is. His name's Logan Paul. Logan Paul has a very popular YouTube channel, and I mean very popular. The guy's done very well for himself. He made some missteps with a video he was doing in Japan, where he went to a particular place that was known for where people would go to commit suicide. And he filmed a person's body who had committed suicide. And then they made some jokes about it and said some things while they were filming, and then he posted it on his YouTube site. Well, there was a serious backlash after that, and people talked about canceling him out at that point. He came on later and he apologized for it. He apologized for what he did. That was, I think, sometime in 2016 or 2017. I forgot what. I don't have that in front of me. But anyway, since then, he has come back to his podcast now, and his podcast has picked up steam again, and he's back off and running. So he was canceled briefly.
Postponed.
Yeah, so maybe he was postponed and not canceled. Other folks have been Louis C.K. Louis C.K. is a comedian.
Yeah, I have no idea who that is.
Louis C.K. lost his manager. He got iced out of Hollywood after he admitted to sexual misconduct. Mm. And then Kanye West. What did Kanye West do?
Is it the Taylor Swift thing? When you jumped on stage? Or, that's not really a social media kind of thing. I don't know, because if I'm honest, he's never been somebody that I really pay much attention to.
Well, Kanye West, most recently, people threatened to cancel Kanye West because of his political views, his support of President Trump.
No, see, I didn't even know he supported him. I just knew he was planning on running for 2020. I do know that I remember seeing that.
Well, I think he's changed his mind on that now. But yes, he supports President Trump, and I think a lot of people find that very hard to believe, and they talked about canceling him out because of that. So there's lots of different views that people have about it. But I think one of the most hurtful things I have seen with the cancel culture is when a 14 or 15 or 16 year old kid makes a statement on social media. They grow up, they become adults, and someone goes back and finds what they said when they were a kid.
Yeah, you and I didn't have that growing up.
Like, no, you know, and I'm glad.
Yeah.
Because when you're, I don't know if any of you guys who have been through puberty, I mean, let's think about it. And most of us, I don't know. Most of us, I'm sure, made dumb decisions when we were in puberty, going through puberty and going through high school. You did something dumb.
Not me. I was an angel.
And some people just lie about their past and don't own up to what they did. But
it's not lying if it's the lying truth.
Well, it could be the lying truth. It could not be. I guess how this ties into our podcast is the lying truth is a lot of times when these things come out that people have done something in their past, or they may have said something, or they may not have said something, it could be totally blown out of proportion.
Mm-hmm.
Also, do we leave room for people to make mistakes anymore?
I don't think so. Put it out there, it's out there, and it's, you know, people are going to hold you to it. It's like, I'm sure you've heard me tell our kids multiple times, when they hit middle school age, every decision, everything you do from this point forward will shape the rest of your life.
Could shape the rest of your life.
Well, think about employers now. Look up, you know, Facebook pages and things like that about you when, you know, you're applying for a job. They could see something that you posted in your, you know, late teen years, early college years that they might hold against you and make a judgment against you based on what appears as something.
Yeah, I think that could lead to why the app Snapchat may be so popular. It's because people can post something out there and it's going to disappear.
So they think, you know, that not everything disappears.
So being canceled happens when there's a mismatch between the things someone said or did and the ethical expectations of their audience. So now folks have to read the ethical expectations of their audience. Can cancel culture go too far?
Yes.
Absolutely. Cancel culture, this was some notes that I had. Cancel culture can ruin lives. It can ruin the future of young people. What we were just talking about, how our employers can go back now and look back at, you know, anything that you've posted on your Facebook or your Instagram or your Twitter or your Snapchat. Well, I don't think they can on Snapchat. I don't think they can. I think Snapchat is the one that's got that cornered where it can go away, correct?
Probably.
I think Instagram stories, don't they go away?
Yes.
So Instagram is trying to catch up on that as well.
Facebook even does that now, the storylines.
Oh, that's right. Facebook does it too.
Yeah.
So again, social media is something that I did not grow up with. I did not understand it when it first came out.
It's made life very complicated.
It's made life very complicated for our teenagers.
Well, not
and
for just our young folks. For us as well.
Well, okay. So now you're hearing a little bit of the patio talk.
Yeah. Cell phones, all of it together. It's the mark of the beast. It's your cell phone. Yep.
I don't know if it's the mark of the beast or not, but it is funny. You know, when I go through an airport or something now, just to watch people. I'm a people watcher. Cindy and I both are people watchers. Just a side note, we have sat in a parking lot before just watching people go in and out of the store and making up stories for them.
Creating their conversation
creating their conversation.
Based on their body language.
And it's so fun. It's so fun to see the same couple go in and then come back out.
Yeah, the body demeanors are so different.
They're way different. And we can really make up some good things about that. Just talking about how they might be acting.
But back to the cell phones. I was surprised today. My parents came to visit today. And as they were leaving, I stood on the back steps and thought I would just do the parade wave as they leave. And of course, my mom's driving my dad, and she can't look at me, but my dad's got his face in his phone. And it just amazed me that he is in his late 60s, and he's glued to his phone. I don't know what he'd be looking at, because he's not on social media, but he was either probably voice texting somebody or trying to read a text he got, but he never looked up at me, and I just thought that was very ironic and very funny. But that is the culture that we're in.
It is the culture we're in. You can just go anywhere and just look around and count. The majority of people have their heads in their phone, or they have their earbuds in and they're listening to music.
Yeah.
Or they're looking down at the screen, right? I'm looking for the day where we don't have to look at screens anymore. They just pop up in front of
them. Or they just tap their earbud or AirPod and it just like beams out the image in front of you.
Yeah. That I like on Star Wars where they just have the holograms in front of you. It's coming. It's going to happen. It may already be here.
I think it is.
Yeah. Someone has it, and they're working on it right now.
Yeah.
There's some kid at Stanford or Harvard or somewhere.
Well, just think back when we were kids. Right now. I know we've like rabbit trailed here, but when we were kids, this is patio talk. When we were kids, we would dream of having phones where you could see the other person on the other side of it as you talk to them.
Right. And we thought it would be something that was set on the table. Yeah, we thought it would be
actually a landline phone.
Right.
A big box, you know, there, and you would hit something and see them on that screen.
Little do we know, it would just be our phones.
Or computers.
Our handheld computer phones.
Yeah, or laptops. Skype.
Well, I think that's kind of more what we thought
Skype came out first, probably before FaceTime would have been out, I think. So
I don't know. Maybe it did.
We need to fact check that. We need a fact checker person.
We fact check nothing on here. We just throw it out there.
Yeah.
I mean, you can make your own judgment, folks. We respect you enough that you're adults and you can make your own judgment. So fact check your own self.
But going back to your cancel culture, and the reason I said what I thought it was based off the story that you have not brought up yet, is the kid keep banging the mic. I'm talking with my hands.
You guys know, right, that when people are podcasting, they're talking with their hands. Although I'm sitting here holding my hands together as I'm talking right now.
Yeah, he's not moving at all.
I don't do that.
I'm swaying, I'm moving, I'm jittery.
I don't do that when I'm talking just regular to someone. I am using my hands constantly. But when I'm sitting in front of this microphone, I'm trying to be as still as possible while I'm talking.
Not me. I'm coming in like a wrecking ball.
All right, Miley.
Well, at least I didn't try to sing it. I'm just trying to give you real patio time here in the bonus room.
The studio.
Oh, sorry. The studio.
I'm going to have a lot of editing to do on this. Yes, you
are. You leave some of it because it's like real authentic. Anyway, for the reason that I gave the definition that I gave earlier about it canceling out someone's good today based on something they did when they were younger, was the article about the young man that was raising money. I don't remember all the details, and I know you probably have it there in front of you, but
I don't have it in front of me, but I know what you're talking about. Colin and I talked about it on our last podcast. It was our good story.
Oh.
Is what it was. And it was about the young man in Iowa, who put up a sign at college game day on Saturday morning that said beer money. And
now he's using his hands, folks. And just thought I'd let you know.
And it said, you know, his Venmo account, and it said beer money. So he started getting, you know, thousands of dollars into his Venmo account. So he decided he would use that money for good, and he would give that money over to the Iowa Children's Hospital, which we thought was just a fantastic idea and still do. At the time of our last recording, it was $90,000. But by the time I released it, I think it was up over $3 million is what the final number came in that he was able to donate to the Iowa Children's Hospital. Between that $90,000 and $3 million, someone dug up some tweets that he tweeted when he was 16. He's now 24 years old, so we're talking about 8 years ago.
Again, where his brain just now fully developed.
Right. He's just now getting to that point. And that is scientific. You can't fact check that if you want. But his brain is just now fully developed into, you know, to his adult brain. So he's being held accountable. He was being held accountable for things he said when he was 16 years old. Which leads to the question of, when you're 16, don't you change your mind by the time you're an adult? I know I did. I mean, when I was 16, I had a lot of different things that I thought.
Absolutely.
As an adult, you go, wow, that was kind of crazy thinking. But I'm glad I was just 16. And it really wasn't that bad, because I was just 16 and I had my parents to protect me and help me not do stupid stuff. Again, that's why you are a parent.
And you didn't have social media to put it blasted out there for everyone to see and record and hold you, you know.
Right. But he did.
Yeah.
You think about what happened to him. Some of the people who said they were going to give him money said they're no longer going to give him money. They're not going to match the donation. The reporter who dug this up and put this in his paper, or I don't even know if it's a paper. It's an online paper. Put it out there. Someone dug up some things that the reporter said. And guess what? The reporter got fired.
Oh, wow.
Because of things that they had done in their past, because they brought up what this guy had done, brought things upon himself, you know, for people to look into him. And so both of these guys are now part of the cancel culture.
Yeah, and I don't really agree with that. I think, I don't know what this guy had done in his past, but I get the whole you're representing a company or organization. But I don't know that it should have been that drastic. I think a lesson could be learned from the fact that he shouldn't have brought up this other kid's stuff to cancel out something good that was going on, because it did wreak havoc on him, embarrassed him with whatever probably was brought to light. So that seems kind of drastic.
Yeah, it is kind of drastic. I think the good part about the young man who was raising the money is, even after that came out, people still, this went right on and kept donating money because of what he was doing with it. And he did reach the $3 million.
They're giving to the 24-year-old cause, not the 16-year-old. That
you exactly. Know. You're exactly right. And that's why you're so smart. I'll just give you a little bit of background. I mean, when we look at these things, Sydney and I are very different in how we keep up with things that are going on in the world. We're married. We've been married for a long time. But we have very different ways we keep up with what's going on, right?
Right.
We're both professionals.
Yes.
We both have stressful jobs, you know, and we have a lot of work to do. And so how we keep up with what's going on in the world, usually Cindy keeps up with what's going on with the kids, tells me what's happening, and I tell her what's going on with the world.
Pretty much. I take care of our world.
How we get our news is Cindy takes care of our home. She goes to work. She does her job. She comes home. And when I say she takes care of our home, I don't mean she comes home, cooks and cleans and does all that stuff. I mean, she takes care of telling me what's going on with our family, as far as, hey, this child needs this, or this child is doing that, or our folks are doing this, or we've got plans to go here, or we've got something to do somewhere else. And I'm the one who's telling her, did you know what President Trump said today? You know.
Yes, because I trust that if there's something that I need to know happening around the world that is of any concern or worry, you will tell me.
She relies upon my great wisdom.
Not that I am totally like head under the pillow to things, because there's times I bring up things to you. I do like to listen to the news to an extent, but let's face it, it's sad, depressing, and I don't want that.
Let's talk about that for a second. Because I think that's what we're doing with our podcast, is why or how or do you listen to the news?
I probably have selective hearing in the news. You know, I've been working from home this week and I play the news in the background as I'm working. And if something kind of catches my ear, I'll stop, turn around and listen to it, pay attention to it. But most of it, it's just background noise.
You don't like to know. Like all the politics of what's going on with all of our senators and congresspeople and governors and president. That's just not, you don't care to follow that every day, do you?
No.
I don't particularly care to follow it every day, although it's kind of comical in some ways. And in some ways, it's just downright depressing. I'll bring something up to Cindy, and I can always tell when it's a major thing or not a major thing by her reaction. She'll look at me like, I really could care less. This really, who cares what he said? Or who cares what she did? Or if I say something, she'll go, well, wait a minute, tell me more. She's typically, if it's something that's, you know, kind of serious, she'll say, tell me more about that. So then we'll start discussing it even deeper, which a lot of times patio talk is, we can talk about those type things. However, she doesn't really care to look for news every day. You could go a whole week without news, couldn't you?
Yeah, probably. Yeah, and listen to the weather and traffic. Yeah, I could.
Why is that for you?
I don't know. I think it's because, for one, you can't fully trust what's being shared, that it's reliable truth. Or it's just, in the grand scheme of things, not that important. Not that I think politics isn't important. But a lot of it's just not relatable to my everyday life. I don't know.
Do you think the news pushes the culture? The cancel culture?
Absolutely.
The news folks do that. And why do you think they do that?
Because I think it gives them better ratings, or...
Yeah, sure. Gives them better ratings.
Yeah.
Better listenership, better viewership.
Like I've told you before, what if they could, for an entire week, or let's extend it to an entire month, only report what's good? Good news. Like, I can tell you something I captured on the news was The Rock called this lady that turned like 100 years old or even older, maybe. She was a huge fan of his, and someone tweeted him or something like that and got his attention. So he called and wished her happy birthday. That's good stuff. That's the stuff I retain.
That's the stuff you retain. The yeah. Rock called somebody and said something. He's a good guy.
But, and that's why, like, I mentioned to you starting your segment of Tell Me Something Good. Because there's so much more good, I believe, going on in this world than bad. But all that we see is usually the bad. Is there a country song, something about, oh, back when kids used to play out in the yard and when, oh, it's something about good. I don't know. It'll come to me later,
I believe most people are good.
Yes, yes.
So that's the, song, yeah. The song, yeah.
Yeah, can't tell you the artist because that's another trait of mine.
It's another one of Cindy's superpowers.
Yeah.
Is not knowing artists. She can tell the song, and she can tell me the song. And she'll usually ask, hey, what about this song? Who is that? And I'll tell her. And when she could really, you know, I'm glad she still asked me because she could just ask her phone and tell her.
True.
But she still asks.
But there are things that will catch my attention that maybe aren't the good things, you know. So if I don't tune into that stuff on a regular basis, then kind of protecting myself from falling into that fearful dwelling. So I do pay attention to news. It's just more of a selective.
I pay attention to memes a lot.
Yes, you do.
A whole lot. One I saw today I thought was very good. You've probably seen the guy. He's a white-haired guy with a nicely white trim beard, and he's having a cup of coffee, and he's saying, oh, look, two kittens playing on the grass or something like that. And then at the bottom of it, it says, and everyone is arguing about politics in the comments. It's so true.
Yeah, I didn't see that one. That's why I think it was great that in recent news that W and Ellen were caught hanging out together and enjoying each other's company and...
Right. And she caught so much flack over that.
She did. And it's just, it's ridiculous.
I don't know why she caught so much flack over that. I wonder if he did. I wonder if he caught any flack over it.
I haven't seen anything.
I haven't seen any reports that say he caught any flack over it, but she did.
Yeah.
I do like what she said about it and how she said, you know, just because you don't agree with someone doesn't mean you can't be friends with them.
Exactly.
And I think that's one of the things that we have lost in our society. Folks, we're not all going to agree. I mean, we've talked about this on the podcast before, is that I think when Brenda was here with us, the four of us, and between the four of us, we're not going to agree with everything that we say.
No.
Yeah, I'm not going to agree. You and I, heck, when you and I are married, we don't agree on everything. Most stuff, but not everything, right?
Right.
You know, you like to stick your cold feet on me. I don't like that. So we don't agree on that.
But you're so warm and toasty.
But anyway, I think we've lost the ability to respect one another, even though we disagree with one another. And that's tough. And that is one of the things that worries me about our society. Can we get that back? Will we ever get that back? And I guess the thing is, do people want that back? So I'm going to challenge anyone who's listening out there. Do you want that back? Do you want it to come back where we actually can have a conversation with each other, even though we don't agree with each other? And I think that happens every day. I go to work every day. I know that there are people at my job or at my office that I work at. We do not agree on everything.
Right, definitely at mine.
We don't. There's lots of things that we disagree on.
Yeah.
But we try to keep it professional with one another. Even if we do get into conversations where we're going to have a disagreement, we're still respectful with one another. And a lot of times I think that's because we're forced into a space with one another that we must get along with each other. And on the internet, nah, we don't have to. People can be, you know, keyboard
trolls and
keyboard cowboys and, you know,
keyboard cowboys
and just start slanging bullets through the keyboards, you know, verbal, or I guess you can't say verbal bullets, but, comment bullets.
There might be an emoji out there for that.
To each other. You know, it's keyboard cowboys where they just want to throw stuff at each other, and it's just horrible. You know, I guarantee a lot of folks who say stuff on the internet would not say it to someone's face if they're standing there, because they would see that it is a live human being that has emotions. Now, there are some folks out there, just want to watch the world burn. It doesn't matter. They could be standing in front of someone, and they're going to spew off this hate. And it's going to, and when it comes out of them, it's going to come right back at them. It's like a boomerang effect. You start yelling at me about, you know, your view sucks, people are going to yell back, or let's call it in the internet words or the slang words, clap back at each other. And people do that. And I think we've just lost the ability to talk, have a conversation without being angry. I mean, when you're married to someone, your marriage must suck if that's the way you communicate with your spouse. If you are always bickering and arguing with each other, your marriage has to suck. I'm just going to tell you. Because how can you respect yourself, respect the person you're living with, if all you're doing is just arguing or yelling at one another because you want your way and they want their way? And that's what we see on the internet. It's like a married couple who can't get along and just scream at one another. It's what I'm seeing, you know, on the internet. And typically what happens with those folks, typically they don't make it. And I'm not going to say that happens every time, but typically they don't make it. And that's what worries me about our society today with social media. Are we going to make it? We're going to make it through this because everybody's fighting.
I will say this. I noticed the news enough that they should cut off the president's Twitter account.
Sometimes I think he does that just to see what kind of charge he can get out of people. Sometimes. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I think he's really just, that's what he thinks, that's what he's going to say.
I didn't catch the clip on the news this morning. Again, just selective of, what's the nighttime show guy, James
Corden?
Corden, yeah. And he was making fun of him misspelling the word witch. He was trying to say, I guess, that there was a witch hunt out for him or something to that effect, but he put wirch.
Wirch. It was a wirch hunt. Wirch hunt.
But, you know, I think that's really silly because we all have spelling issues in our internet media, social media outlets. It can happen.
I've challenged myself in the past few weeks to try to post a good story every day. I've been going to this place called goodnewsnetwork.org. Some of the things that they have on there that are good news are very positive stories in a lot of ways. And some of them, it's very touching in some of those. The one I'm looking at right now is from the Good News Network. It is a cheerleader jumps off parade float so she can save a choking toddler in the crowd.
Wow.
17-year-old. So here we go. Here's a teen doing something good. 17-year-old Tyra Winters isn't just renowned at her high school for being an excellent cheerleader. She is also now making national headlines for saving the life of a choking toddler last month. Tyra and her teammates from Rockwall High School in Texas had been aboard a homecoming parade float, waving to the crowd when she saw a woman holding a toddler and crying for help. A 2-year-old boy, who had been choking on a piece of candy, was quickly turning purple when Tyra spotted him from the float. The boy's mother, Nicole Hornback, says that she tried to perform the Heimlich maneuver on her son, but since she never learned how to perform the technique properly, she failed to dislodge the candy. I just happened to look over to him. There was no noise. There was no coughing. There was no breathing, Hornback told KTVT in the interview. At that moment, that's when I tried to give him the Heimlich. I've never taken a class. To feel so useless as a mother was the most terrifying thing in my life. After Hornback started calling for help, Tyra jumped off the float and ran to the distressed mother's side. The senior then grabbed the toddler, turned him upside down, and dislodged the candy simply by giving him 3 firm slaps on the back. Tyra says that she learned how to help choking children as a result of her mother working in the medical field, and Hornback could not be more grateful for this teen's intervention.
Wow, that is phenomenal. That is really awesome. That's really good. That was a teenager being very attentive when we tease about teenagers, you know, only heads in the phones or what's going on in their world. But she was paying attention. That's really at the right time. And way to go, mom, for her, you know, teaching her those emergency tactics like that.
Yeah, very good. That's a good story, right?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So we're going to end this. Now, patio time usually ends with us just, you know, making sure the fire's out, going inside, and then going to sleep. So,
because usually one of us has already drifted in the chair outside.
After a long week.
And usually listen, me.
Yeah, listen, after a long week of work, I mean, what's better to go home and just chill out with your loved one and just talk? And, you know, I know a lot of people don't like to talk, but how about just go home and chill out with your loved one? Go sit outside.
Just listen to music. Sometimes we're not talking. We're just looking at the stars and just taking slow, deep breaths and just calming down from the chaotic week.
Exactly. The way Colin and I usually end these things is we say, what was the last thing you listened to? What was the last song that you listened to?
Oh, the last song was a One Direction song. You Don't Know That You're Beautiful. And I don't even know if that's the correct name of the song, but it was jamming on the TV show in the background today while I was working.
Okay. So the last song that I had was You Worry Me. Do you know who does that song?
Of course.
Who?
Not.
You Worry Me by Nathaniel
Ratliff.
And the
Night Sweats.
The Night Sweats.
Woo!
There you go.
I better know that.
You got it. You Worry Me. All right. So there you go. So again, folks, thanks so much for listening. I know that Cindy and I may have just rambled on, but that's okay. That's what we do on Friday nights. And we're not even recording on Friday night. How about that?
All right.
So anyway, when you hear this, we just appreciate you listening to it. We want to just encourage you to take time to spend with your spouse.
Yes.
Listen to them.
Date
each other. Talk to one another.
Pursue each other.
Pursue one another. Take care of each other.
Yeah.
And that means you guys take care of your lady. And
you ladies take care of your man. My man loves me well, and I'm grateful for him.
They're easy to love.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode. Don't forget to leave us a 5-star review and hit subscribe wherever you listen to our podcast. You can also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram at Patio Talk Pod. Please check us out as well on our website, patiotalkpod.net. And if you like what you hear and would like to support the show, click on that cute little button in the show notes that says Buy Us a Coffee. Thanks for listening.